Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
If you are a person who likes to do Facebook and Twitter and even get into our live event through YouVersion that's available in your bulletin today, I encourage you to check in on Facebook and let all your friends know that you're with us today. And we're just going to have a good day. This day was originally planned out over a year ago to be something slightly different. And as things began to kind of fall into place, we realized that our original plan just really wasn't what God had in mind. And so we scaled back a little bit, and Steve and I began to talk on Tuesday about how cool it would be if we would begin to just allow this day to saturate us with the cool stories that are coming from you. You know, as a pastor, I get to hear some really great things about what God is doing in our midst and through us. I don't know if you felt this as tangibly as I have, but the month of October was just a phenomenal month for us. You know, and I have to kind of do reporting and do things like this, but the reality is, every Sunday I came here in October, I was so blown away by not only the attendance and the growth, but just the excitement that you brought into this room. And God was doing some great things in the lives of some of our people. And I was actually mowing on Monday, and I kept thinking about you, and I kept thinking about some of the cool stories that God is birthing as we are opening ourselves up to the transforming love of God, which is a big part of our mission, that we would open our hearts to what God wants to do in our heart, and that we would be different and changed, and that days would be happy because we know that we're following this amazing, amazing God. God is building His kingdom right here in Flushing, and He's doing it through you. And thank the Lord, He's blessing our church to help you accomplish it. But we want to hear some of these stories today. So we're going to have friends come up from various times and just kind of have a real casual conversation that you're all going to be able to listen in on. And it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day of hearing what God is going to do. And I believe we're all going to leave here challenged, and we're all going to leave here blessed by hearing these powerful stories. I want to go ahead and introduce these guys real quick. This is Clayton and Melissa Strobridge and their new son, Austin. You're going to hear a little bit more about him in just a minute. This is Michelle Cole. Her husband, Bob, is working or worked last night and is sleeping, and we're not sure. He's working right now, so we understand that. And Matt and Pam Young. And this group of people are sitting here today because they are in various stages of the adoption process. And last year, this is actually the first Sunday of Adoption Awareness Month. Last year at this time, we began a series called Orphanology, and we talked for three Sundays about the call of the believer to take care of the orphans and the widows, and the challenge that is within that. Clayton and Melissa were not even with us at that point. They started attending around the first of the year. The Coles were in the process at that point, and the Youngs will talk about where they're at in just a moment. But go ahead and tell us, I'm not sure who's speaking here, but go ahead and kind of just let us know where you guys are at in this process of adoption so we get a clear picture of that.
Well, this is Austin, and actually on Friday, his birth mom terminated her parental rights. So he is no longer in legal risk, and in a couple months, he'll legally be ours.
Awesome. Tell us where you're at, Michelle.
We're at a very exciting place.
Yes, you are.
A couple weeks ago, we had been praying about the possibility of a little 18-month-old girl coming into our lives. It's not what we signed up for. We originally thought newborn, and but we were praying and open to the fact that maybe this is the child God intended for us. And we seeked wise counsel, and we prayed, and in daily devotionals, everything was pointing to yes, and we said yes. So probably mid-November, she will be with us. However, there's more.
But
wait,
there's more.
So this adoption will be a state adoption, at which there is very little cost to us. So we are remaining next on the list for a newborn as well. That's where we're at.
Yeah. It's very, very cool.
Well, we began our process last summer, although I think that we both wanted to adopt well before that. Me personally, I kind of felt like I suppressed those feelings and ran from them, even though I knew they were there. I think Pam was there all along, and eventually I gave in and decided to obey where I knew God was pushing me. So we did a lot of research, and we really feel like God narrowed down the exact path that he wanted us to take, and right now we are actually signed up with a private adoption agency and a home study, and we're told that we'll have an infant baby probably in the spring or summer.
Wow. Very cool. Now, I want to come back to Strobridge's for just a moment. Your journey of adoption and that feel of that call is probably quite a bit different than these guys, but still very, very interesting and cool, because you selected an adoption agency that was Christian-based, even though at that time you were not attending church on a regular basis. So would you mind telling us kind of what that was like and kind of how God led you here, if you don't mind? Is that okay?
I think, well, first we started, I kind of always wanted to adopt. It was something that's always been in my heart.
Yeah.
And if you were at the pumpkin patch, you know, Clayton just kind of follows anyways.
Literally, he was following the wagon with the stroller through the field. It was awesome.
So that was kind of always in my heart. And like the Youngs, we did a lot of research on, you know, where and how we wanted to adopt. And we just kind of came to the decision to work with Bethany Christians.
Mm-hmm.
They just felt right, and it was the best fit. And it also led us to church again. And it led us here, and we're really happy that that led us here. And we feel pretty blessed by the family that we've gained through the adoption and through the whole process with church and even Austin's family. We're really close with Austin's birth mom and things like that, so it's really been a blessing.
Talk about that just for a minute. This is kind of off the script, so hopefully that's not too strange here. But Bethany, when you do an adoption the way that you've done, it's an open adoption, mm-hmm. right? So you had a very cool experience Friday when you go to court, and the mother is the only one that could go to that court hearing, I understand.
Right.
And she terminates her rights at that point, but something pretty cool happened right after that, right? Or within that same time period?
We decided that night to meet up with Mom. We knew it would be a hard day. Obviously, the hospital was a really hard day where, you know, she gave birth and we walked out of the hospital and she walked out empty-handed. And we made a deal with her that, you know, we wanted to stay in contact. We think it's important. She did an amazing thing for me and Clayton. I was really bad at pregnancy, so it wasn't going to happen again. And so on Friday, after she terminated her rights, we met up with not only her, but her two other children and her parents, so Austin's grandparents. And we all had dinner, and the kids played, and our daughter actually cried for like 2 hours on the way home. So it was a really great experience, and we planned to stay together. And so for when Austin gets older and he has those questions, his mom can answer them.
Yeah, very neat, very cool. Michelle, tell us what is God really revealing to you through this process? I mean, I know that whole deal of here's an 18-month-old and we feel led in that direction, though that wasn't our original intent, but still kind of holding on to that dream of having a newborn was still there, and how you
right.
balance that. But what has God kind of been showing you? This has been a long journey, like 18 months or so, right?
No, 3 years.
Well, yeah, I mean...
October 31st was 3 years since
wow.
our paperwork was done, and we've been waiting.
Time flies when you're having fun, right? Wow.
One of several things, besides the power of prayer and faith, is God's timing, all in God's perfect timing. We might not know when, but he knows when. And, for example, if the little girl's name, our daughter's name, is Mia,
mm-hmm.
and... if we wouldn't have had to wait these 3 years, Mia would not be coming into our life.
Right.
We wouldn't have been on the list to even be called. So he is blessing us more than we could have ever dreamt for.
Right. Right.
Did you ask something else?
No, just, you know, what God has shown you, and I think you nailed that. You know, sometimes we want to rush, don't we?
Absolutely.
And you've not only, maybe I've been thinking you've been number one on that list for
since January.
Yeah, so it's been a long journey, and a lot of times we go through, whatever our processes are, we say, God, why not now? Why not now? And
right.
It's usually that we don't understand why until things begin to materialize like that, right?
Absolutely.
So that's certainly what we're experiencing. All right, pass the mic over to Youngs. The stories that have been coming out of your journey have been very interesting. Tell us what God has really been showing you guys.
Well, I think the biggest thing has been having trust and faith. There's so much uncertainty with an unknown, and it's scary. But I feel like we have, over and over, every time we have questioned if we're doing the right thing and how all this is going to work out, God has continued to...
It's okay.
He has reassured us that we are doing the right thing, whether if it's just been something on the radio. One day I turned on the radio, and it was on Family Life Radio, and it was Focus on the Family, and they were talking about adoption. And just even through a perfect stranger that I got a name, and I called this person, and it was just perfect strangers that just prayed with me, and it was a day where I was very much questioning what we were doing. But I know that was God, just mm-hmm. through those strangers.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that we are doing 100% what He wants us to do.
Yeah. Matt, I want to ask you a question. I got to nail you on this. You're a math teacher in the high school level. You understand that 1 + 1 = 2, right?
Usually, yes.
But I think one of the greatest fears for you has been the financial part of this.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And yes, definitely.
So... tell me, what has God really done to wreck your mind with that? Because
he's totally stretched me, because I don't know if I'd call myself a control freak, but I definitely like to know. Maybe I am, but I at least like to know what to expect. And there's so many, like Pam said, there's so many unknowns. And I mean, yeah, the financial part is huge. And God's math is how it's going to have to work out, because it's not going to be my math. So I don't know the end result. So but I know the end result. We're going to have a blessing, but I don't know how He's going to make that happen for us financially. But I've just totally given it to Him, and He's going to work it out. And I do feel very confident in that. It's scary when I sit down and think about it at times, but I just try to, when I get those feelings and those thoughts, I just try to pray about it and put it back on Him. And I know that at the end, it's going to work out.
That's really new, kind of a new experience, right? In a lot of ways. I mean,
yeah,
you haven't trusted God before.
No, but I'm not one to take I wouldn't call it a risk, but to do something so big without having it all planned out and how we're going to pay for it. And we don't have it all planned out.
Right. Right. Cool. All right. I want to ask this other question about fear and future and where you guys are heading with this, and what is, as you're looking down the path, kind of, is there anything that's still like, man, I'm just not sure, or does the road feel wide open? How can we pray for you guys? Those kinds of things.
I'm afraid I'm going to do it again.
And that's what Clayton's afraid of. Yeah.
I would say the main thing is just praying that connection with the birth mother stays. Because they do talk about it after the first year. It kind of goes away. Hmm. But I hope that connection stays, because that's going to be something that it's our relationship with them, and then His relationship with that family. Because He does have other brother and sister out there, and He needs to know them, and He needs to know why Mom did this, that it wasn't a just, I don't need you, it's a gift, it's a sacrifice she made. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, that just blesses me, because I honestly don't know that I could do that. And we've had that conversation before. I'm like, I'm the control freak about that. Like, you know, I don't know that I share very well. And the idea that you are praying that stays strong is so encouraging. Michelle, how about you? What are some of the fears or anything going on that we can be praying for you?
Well, Bob's not here, but I have a quote from him regarding his fear. He said, "My only fear is that we'll be one day away from our court date, and a family member from Nova Scotia will pop out of the woodwork."
Yeah.
That he's serious.
Yeah. I can understand.
I personally, at this point, Maybe I'm naive. I choose to believe it's my faith. I am totally at peace. I do not believe God has brought us this far for this to not happen.
Right.
Ways to pray would be that for Mia, that the transition would go smoothly for her.
Sure.
She's had a lot of turmoil in her life. And for the newborn in our life, just that he or she will be healthy and help us get through the court date.
Yeah, yeah. And get here quick, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Youngs, how about for you?
Fears?
Yeah,
there's obviously, you know, a lot of fears. Relationship with the birth mom, the health of the child, financially, like I've already mentioned. There's a lot to it. And again, if I feel like I just sat down and started to dwell on those thoughts, it could overwhelm me. But we're just choosing to trust God and put that in His hands and leave it to Him.
Awesome. All right. What we want to do, I kind of want to highlight the fact that the Youngs next Saturday are having a pancake breakfast here. We just want to kind of mention that. It's been in your bulletin. If you are available and you want to support them in this, I want the church to rally behind all three of these families. But that's one tangible way that you can get involved with that. Seems like there was something I was supposed to mention about that I'm forgetting. But to be a show up and don't be very hungry, but be very generous. No, I'm kidding. You just drop in. It's from 9 to 11. Sorry. 9 to 11. We've got a small group that Michelle's been a part of for years that's putting together a baby shower for Mia, and that's in your bulletin and exciting. And I started thinking about this week, and I didn't even ask permission to do this, so I'm just doing it. But for Strobridges, things happen so fast. It seems like I just didn't have my head wrapped around the timing on this. But what I'd love to do is, if you feel so inclined to do this, to support them, I think it would be just awesome if we would just do kind of an impromptu card shower. And for the month of November, because it's Adoption Awareness Month, we're just going to, I'm asking Marianne right now to put a little thing back at the Welcome Center with Strobridge's name on it. If you feel inclined to put a card in there, a gift card, some cash to help them, that would be awesome. Because again, we are part of their new family too. And I want to support that and be a part of that. And I know that we want to give you the opportunity to do that too. And so I just think there's some real tangible ways that we can get behind these families, and I'm looking forward to your response out of that as well as we support them. So I'm going to pray for them, but would you thank them for sharing their stories this morning with your applause? Thank you. And I want to pray for them before they go down, okay? Lord, I thank you so much for the call of adoption, and I know that's not for everybody. Necessarily to do the full process of adoption, but you have called all of us to be mindful of the orphan and to be mindful of the widow, to be mindful of those who have less. And so it is my great prayer that as we as a church continue to think on these things, that you will bless them and that you will bless us and that you will encourage us to do what you've called us to do. And just like Matt was saying, taking that step of radical faith and just trusting you with everything, from finances to relationships, God, that you would do that. So watch over each of these families and our families as well as we support them and get involved in this. And we will be careful to praise you for all that you are doing. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to have you guys introduce yourself. And I would like you to also tell us not only your name, but how long you've been attending here at Blushing Community Church.
My name is Carolyn. I've been going here for 3 years.
My name is Tom Adams, and I've been going here probably 6 years,
yeah.
5 years.
Yeah, close to five, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I tell you, we've kind of organized these conversations into kind of likenesses and what's going on. Both of these friends of mine have been people who have really engaged in various areas of ministry and decided to get involved in some new areas too. So, Carolyn, why don't you tell us kind of the things you're involved with, what... the things you're involved in through the church here. You've got like Bible study and different things.
Okay. Yeah. Pretty much my first Sunday here, Marianne Cordy roped me into her small group, and it's been awesome. I've been going there ever since. That's a real awesome, just it's been a life-changing thing for me to have that support. Also, I've been involved in Upward for the last few years, and recently, since, I don't know, the beginning of the year, I've been helping with the youth group on Sunday nights.
Yeah, awesome. Tom, tell us kind of your involvement, because you don't want to say some of the things you do behind the scenes here, too, but...
Really, we
I'm going to... Yeah.
I guess, really, we have the opportunity to help with certain projects here. The lighting, that Steve's vision with what he's got going on here as far as the lighting, and we're doing some screen guarding for the church right now.
Yeah.
And we're not able to throw a ton of money at the church because financially we started a business about 3 years ago, so we're still in the growing phases of that. So we help where we can.
Right.
But it's, you know,
it's huge.
It's good to help, and it's good to be part of that with at least picturing what Steve's got in his head and trying to turn it into some.
When we started talking about all of this, one of Steve's first calls was to Tom. I don't even know how that connection happened, but the track that goes along here that holds the lighting, Tom took Steve's idea and created this and just ran with it. The track part. And it's really cool. We've also got issues with our lights up here because we have volleyball teams and different things in. So we put money into lights and they get nailed with volleyballs all the time, right? And so Tom's company has basically designed a way to protect our lights, and so we're getting ready to install those in the next coming few weeks or months. So it's just awesome to see how you're using your gifts and talents. And I know you don't toot your own horn. I know this about you, but that's pretty awesome stuff that you do that, and I really appreciate it. Carolyn, I want to ask you, in a general way, tell us how God has really started to challenge you. And you can tell your whole, I don't care how long you take here on this, but there's really, you got to hear Carolyn talk and you're just going to laugh because she's hilarious. But God,
no pressure.
No pressure at all. She's the one who told me the story, the joke that I totally botched a few weeks ago.
It was funny when I told
tried
it.
I tried, I couldn't, she knows it. But God's just shown you part of who He wants you to be through just some crazy set of circumstances. So, kind of start at the beginning.
Through tennis.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, in September, I came home one Saturday, turned on the TV, tennis was on. I was going to change a channel, obviously, because I don't watch sports. I don't watch the Michigan game. Sports are boring to me, especially tennis. Get real. And sorry, that's how I feel. That's me. God made me this way. Don't judge. So,
see?
But I couldn't take my eyes off the TV. I was glued to the set. It was exciting. It was fascinating. I started rooting for, you know, the guy who I thought was, I don't know, the guy in the gray. You know, that's how I pick teams to root for. And he won. And I thought, oh, that's nice. You know, the end. 2 days later, it was the semifinals for the U.S. Open, if anybody knows about such things. So a couple days later, came home from work, turned on the TV, tennis again, and I thought, hey, I wonder if that guy wins. He won. He's number one in the world. I didn't know. And sorry, Joel. He's number one. Joel's the only person who even saw the match that I know of besides me. So the amazing thing was when this guy won, he just fell on the ground and started sobbing, and I was just in awe, I guess. And it made me wonder when was the last time I cared about anything that much? And I thought about that for a week, and I just thought so many things were going on in my head. And one of the things I realized is that I want to have something in my life that I care about that much. I've been going through the last several years of my life just existing, not really caring about anything, and I didn't realize how empty that was, and I didn't realize that I was really living like my life was over. And what dawned on me was my life's, I mean, if everything goes, you know, the same way, you know, I've got a lot of years left to just be waiting for it to be over. You know, here's kind of how I thought of it. The first 20 years of your life don't even count. They don't even count. You're just learning to live, breathe, think, walk, right? So take off the first 20 years and then the life I've lived already is about as much time or less than what I have ahead of me. Again, God willing. And I thought, I want to do something with the rest of my life. I want to live intentionally. I know that's cliche, but it really applies. I want to find something I care about and pursue it. And so I started with just the basics. What do I care about? What's important to me? What do I believe in? Reading my Bible, you know, and every day, not just saying that I do or thinking that I do or telling people I do, but actually reading my Bible every day, praying every day, spending time with God, journaling, writing. I am a writer, and I need to be writing. Being healthy, just stuff like that is where I started. And I started journaling. I started reading my Bible, and God's just... This to me, it was just like an epiphany that I had from watching this tennis match. But I think God orchestrated it all to just bring me to a point in my life where I would just turn things around and say, I'm going to live what I believe, and I can't really keep God out of it. He's so much a part of my life. If I want my life to be successful, and if I want to be who he wants me to be, and if I'm going to live what I believe, he's got to be part of it. Yeah. And he's just been showing me so many things. I mean, I'll read something, I'll be praying about something, and then, we're reading this, we're going through this devotional, or it's not a devotional, but we're going through this book in our small group, and I'll be asking God a question like, God, how can I hear you more? And the next chapter is hearing God. I mean, I'm not even kidding. It happens all the time. So God's just really been showing me a lot of stuff, and I've just been getting closer to him just because of this new journey I'm on, second half of my life.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I think a lot of us identify and need to identify with the fact that too often we can just kind of be showing up and be present, and it's so encouraging to see that that's not where you want to be the second half. You want to be more than that and engaged in something. And if Rafael Nadal had to show you that, then number one... I get blown away how God speaks to us, even through things we would think are non-religious. You know, he can use anything at his disposal to kind of wake us up. So, Tom, you and Paula, like I said, have been here for about 5 years, have been very faithful in your attendance. And part of the cool story that I'd heard about was that when we recently... started talking about small group ministry and wanting to give that a good, you know, kick in September, you guys kind of had a decision to make in a way, in terms of getting involved with that or not. Can you walk us through a little bit of kind of how that was? Or,
well, with you being a writer, she should have wrote my answers. But no, Paula and I, we've pretty much, our kids have grown up to the point that they don't need us as much as we like to be needed in the house. And
yeah,
we see the empty nest coming along, and we're kind of like, what are we going to do now, you know, because there's really nothing that we've done except focus on our family and kind of worried about just under our roof, per se. So we figured, you know, there's a church full of cool people that we always walk past. We come in and we park our rears in the back over there, and then we take off, and we're done for the week, and we're like, we really should take some time to get to know some people. And not long after we've really been... you know, talking about it more frequently, that invitation for the youth, not youth, but the small groups. And we're like, well, we can't really not take advantage of this and sign up for it, because, you know, this is probably our sign, as hard-headed and shallow as we are. This may be our sign that we need to pick up and, you know, just take a little leap of faith and see how that plays out.
Yeah.
So we decided to come in here, and we did our first... we had our first meeting last Sunday. It went pretty good. I think it's just like we talked about at the house, is really we want to get to know people and live life with other people in the church and have more meaningful relationships as opposed to just on the surface and, you know, be a deeper person at the church.
Yeah, yeah. See, and I think this is the cool thing about both of what you're doing. As I hear your stories, so much of that comes from the fact that you've been here faithfully. You know, Carolyn, you attend every Sunday. Adams, you guys are here very, very frequently, if not every Sunday. And it's putting yourself in a position to allow yourself to hear God's voice, because you never know when it's going to happen. And for Carolyn, really, the epiphany came watching tennis, but that epiphany might not have come had she not just been a part of engaging in small group and engaging in youth ministry and engaging in weekly worship and all those things. The same thing for you, Tom. I mean, you get to this empty nest. All of us do at some point. But being here and being a part of a community of faith really gave you that sense of hunger to want to get into more. And that's what I hear as I hear these stories. And that's what I want us to be challenged by today. So many of us come in and we park our tails at our certain seats. And though we're a church that sets up every Sunday, you all sit in the same spots almost all the time, right? Isn't it true? It's true. And so we just come in and we leave and we do our thing. But we're really trying to build a community of people who want to engage with each other because we know that Christ works so much better through our relationships in our lives. The Holy Spirit can confirm and do some great things in us when we're willing to take that calculated risk of engaging people relationally. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do through your small group. I was blessed when I come home from taking my kids to youth group and I had to weave through, you know, the cars that were parked in our subdivision. And I'm like, awesome, Tom and Paul, I've got small group at their house tonight. And I was so excited to see that. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do through Carolyn, because I honestly think she's going to write a book out of this and we're all going to have to pay for it. And it's going to be awesome. But God just does great things when we say yes. And I'm glad you said yes to coming to small group and getting plugged in. And I'm so glad you said yes to tennis and you've taken that up and have started playing. No, not so true? No, I'm just kidding. All right. But would you thank these guys for sharing their stories this morning? I want to pray for you guys before we go too. I just want to pray for them, but I'm really going to be praying that all of us kind of can take some of this lead as well and jump right in. God, I thank you so much for these who are willing to share their stories. These that are willing to say yes to you. And though we don't always know the outcome and we don't always know what you're doing, we can know you. And I pray that God, maybe their stories have challenged many of us to say yes to you and to trust you and to get involved relationally, to get involved in a small group, or just to be involved in some way, because that's when we're going to hear you most clearly, is when we serve and get involved. So challenge us in the ways that we can do that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Got another group of friends here who are going to share with us some cool things that God's doing in their life. Go ahead and share with us your name and how long you guys have been with us.
My name is Joelle Jordan, and I've been attending here 3 years.
I'm John Popovitz. This is my wife, Chrissy, and we've been coming here since Easter.
Easter. Tell a little bit about, and we'll go with Popovitz's and back to Joelle, but what were some of the circumstances that kind of led you here, if you don't mind? Some of the things that kind of were going on in life beforehand that kind of brought you to our church.
We had been seeking a new church for some time, for the better part of a year. And closer to 2 years probably. And we have three young children, and we wanted to come to a place that was, you know, near where we live, and we live here in Flushing. But we also wanted to be somewhere where we felt like we were making a difference, where we felt like we were, you know, involved. We didn't want to just be selfish and be like, oh, I love going to church because it makes me feel good. So yeah. We started to find out more and more about Flushing Community Church, and we prayed, and unfortunately God didn't call and say, you need to go there. We just kind of felt, we were like, I guess we're just going to have to go and see what it feels like. So we went, and the more we've been here, the better it feels, and that's really how God has spoken to us about that so far. So.
Yeah, cool. Joel, your journey is a little bit different, isn't it? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
I was actually going through a divorce 3 years ago and was attending a different church. We had a change in pastors, and so I had been in counseling probably my whole married life with my husband, 5 or 6 years. We had a change in pastors and just really wanted to go to another pastor who didn't know us. I didn't feel comfortable with the new pastor. Because of some things that had been said and done. And so I had spoken with the Mainers, who are my second family, basically. And Melissa had suggested, and Brent, to their pastor. So we did some counseling with Pastor Terry. And as Pastor Terry and I joke about, we see how well that turned out. And Pastor Terry said, you get what you pay for. So... Even amidst a difficult...
It's so much better when I say it, but I feel guilty all the time.
So amidst all of that, it led me here, and I'm so glad. I know for sure this is where I'm supposed to be.
Right.
Despite the, you know, the divorce happened anyway.
Yeah.
But obviously this is my church home.
Yeah, and we're glad you're with us. The Orphanology series that we talked about with our first group of people kind of touched you in some real interesting ways too, because when we talked about that, we had a couple, Nate and Becky Adams, who came and shared with us about their ministry through Central Nazarene Church, and they talked about Whaley Children's, and something really clicked with you in that, and you were ready to take that next step. Tell us what's going on with all of that.
Actually, I was really excited about the Orphanology series for a different reason. I do have a nephew who's adopted from Korea. So I was super excited about seeing what God was going to say. And, you know, I was a big advocate of adoption. So it's really neat for me to see the three couples up here because it's very dear to my heart. But I didn't expect God to affect me. I was in a stagnant part of life. Obviously, I still had a couple years out of the divorce. I'm a school teacher. I didn't feel like I was making a difference. And you would think, as a school teacher, you make a difference every day. And maybe I don't see it,
right.
But I really felt I was stagnant. So Nate and Becky brought up about Whaley's Children's Home, and they brought up the mentor program. So I was able to apply for that and get accepted for that. And so I have a mentor, a 12-year-old boy. His name is Austin. They normally match you up with girls, but there's a lack of men mentors. So the younger boys, they match up with females, and they matched me up because we enjoyed sports, and he liked to play basketball, and I loved basketball, and so that's how we got matched up.
Yeah, cool. I'll go back to Popovitz's real quick. There was, you know, obviously kind of a strong desire for you guys to get involved. Tell us, what has God kind of shown you through your engagement here? I mean, these folks are here on Wednesday nights for Boost. You've been super faithful in your attendance here, getting engaged in small group ministry as well. What's God kind of revealed to you through that engagement?
Okay. It's just been amazing. You know, we, like I said, I mean, the more things we do, the more it feels right. You know, it's not like... you know, going to Boost, it's nice to study the Bible and to have fellowship and discipleship that way, but it feels like it's the right thing to do, and we feel a peace when we do that. Quiz team has been a blessing for our oldest. I mean, she's really blossomed. I mean, she's always been smart and sociable and everything, but it's just really been amazing to see her flower, and she did get a gold medal yesterday at their meet.
Awesome, awesome.
So yeah, so it's been fantastic. We're you know, things of our lives are very busy with three kids, but we want to make the most of what God's given us, and so we're trying to get a small group off the ground, and it's tough to work out schedules and everything, but it's the more we work towards it, the more right it feels, you know, and so it's been a blessing, and you know, we had. We've just been surrounded by such wonderful people here, and there was a lot of support. Chrissy's mom passed away recently, and there was, you know, we really didn't know that that was coming. You know, it was kind of a sudden thing, and it's just been through our involvement here, we have this wonderful support network of people that were, you know, praying. We had people come up to us, they're like, oh, hey, how you guys doing? And it's like, do I know you? But I've been praying for you, and you know, we're just, you know, we hope everything's okay, so...
Yeah.
It's been great. I mean,
but again, kind of what we said with even the second group we talked with, you guys have engaged with who we are, and people have responded to that. For those who don't know, Boost is our Wednesday night program. We just ended our fall session, and we're going to have another one in the winter as well. And we're going to jump right off on continuing this Genesis series that you guys were a part of. And it is busy with three kids, but they run in here like it's their second home.
Oh, I mean, they love it.
They embrace it here. And it's so encouraging to see family. And it's not that others aren't doing it, because many of you are, but this just happened to highlight this family, to really make church kind of the center spoke of life and say, this is going to be what's important for us as a group of, as a family.
I mean, it's hard for me not to well up when our youngest is 2.5, And, you know, he's like, oh, that's, we're coming down the street. We're going towards my church.
Wow.
You know, that's my church. I got to see, you know, he loves, he's got, you know, little friends that he plays with in there. He's like, oh, I love Gideon. I love Landon. I can't wait to go to my church.
Yeah.
Every night, you know, we're eating dinner and he's like, is it Wednesday? Is it Sunday? Are we going to church? You know, so it's been fantastic.
If you don't fall in love with their three kids, you don't have a heart, by the way. If you're friends on Facebook and you see me with a goofy hat on, it's their daughter's hat on a hayride. And I mean, it's just, they're awesome and they're a blast to be around. And thank you for allowing us to share life with you, quite honestly. And I'm excited to see what God's going to continue to do through your family and through as the kids continue to grow. We've got a picture in just a second here of the quiz team yesterday, the children's Bible quiz team, and some just cool things that happen when our kids are consistently put in front of God's Word and challenged to hide that in their heart. And, you know, two of your kids were challenged to learn the Ten Commandments through Boost. And it's just phenomenal to have that stuff constantly reinforced. And so it's neat. Joel, tell us, how can we kind of partner with you in this Whaley, this call to Whaley? Because there might be some others just like you are sitting here saying, you know, I don't know what I've got to offer and I don't feel like I'm making a difference. But, you know, you spend, what, an hour?
4 hours a month.
So 4 hours a month.
Yeah, 4 hours a month. And I'm so glad you asked. I had in the past month or two posted on the Facebook page. There's a huge need, obviously, for male mentors because they just don't. There's some older teenage boys who need, you know, a male figure in their life. These kids have had every adult let them down in their life. And so you are there to be that dependable adult. It's so rewarding. And if you're fun and you can listen, then you qualify to help with them.
I got half of that.
The commitment is 4 hours a month, and it's not much time at all. If you think about it, you probably spend that watching television or doing something else. I know we're all busy, and when I started this, and I don't say this to toot my own horn, but I was working three jobs, and I made time for Austin. So it's bottom line, someone said this to me a long time ago, you make time for what's important to you. And I've always, you know, lived by that and, you know, just was really encouraged by that. It cost $7 for a driving record. Dr. Barkey, who's a dermatologist in Grand Blanc, pays for your drug test, pays for your background check. So, and it just takes a little time. I'll never forget the second time Austin called me on the phone and said, Miss Joelle, I gotta go. Love you, bye. And I was taken aback because I thought, I spent one day with this kid and he told me he loved me in the second time. So he obviously was starved for that. And I grew up in a Christian home where my parents tucked me into bed, where they read stories to me, and where they went to all my athletic events, and they were there, and they're still there for me at 45. So these kids just need someone to listen and to have fun with them. And some people are thinking, oh, these are troubled kids. Oh, I'm not sure I could take, you know, one of these kids out in public. These kids qualify. To some of them don't qualify for a mentor, but they've been screened and they do qualify. And if they weren't able to go out in public with you, then they wouldn't send you out in public with you. And these kids want to be you with you, so they are on their best behavior. I've had zero problems for 8 months with Austin. And he just, this week, I took him to his choir concert at Kersley. He wouldn't have been able to participate in that. You know, he said, Miss Joel, please take me. And I said, of course. So, and then it was 50 questions after, did you see me? You know, I was looking for you. And, you know, it just, that's all it takes. Yeah. So I encourage anyone who's interested, either go to the Whaley's thing, and I'll post again this week on the Facebook page about it. So.
Yeah. Maybe, would you be available maybe even at the Welcome Center
sure.
for a little bit? Maybe
yep.
after service too, if someone could ask you a question. I just get excited when people jump involved in ministry. You know, we're all very busy, and you're right. We do make things, you know, we try to allow time for the things that are most important. And I don't think there's anything more important than trying to invest in the life of someone else. And some of us are doing that with our own kids, and that's great. Some of us might have time because we're in a different season of life to be able to do this. But if God is tugging on your heart in any way to do that, I want to encourage you to see Joelle afterwards and see what she can, you know, help answer any questions that she may have for you. Pastor Joel has worked on something for us that I want to mention right at the end, and then I'm going to pray for these folks as well. And there's about 20 copies of this back at the Welcome Center. This is called Connection Points. This document, it's a little flyer. It lists every ministry, nearly every ministry we have in the church. And you can kind of investigate what ministry you would like to get involved with based on some spiritual gifts, if you know your spiritual gifts or your personal styles of if you like to work with people or structured and all those different kinds of things. I encourage you to stop by the Welcome Center today, grab one of these, take it home, look it over. It's organized in a way that on the back you can list your top few things that you might be wanting to get involved with and ways to connect with our leaders to find out more about it. If you were part of our network class last year, this is exactly what we were trying to do for you then and didn't have ready. And so Pastor Joel has got this resource available for us, and I want to encourage you to consider that.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.